Well, I tell you, the lesson today could be quite mundane. Hello, come right in. That is, we're looking at Paul's missionary journey. And we're trying to find out, why did the Lord record that? What is there there? And we find out that these stories are not just biographical or descriptions of events. They have a deeper meaning. And when I begin studying, I refuse to just stop at the cursory or the surface. I know without a doubt that every story in there, my father was involved. And we know that something else is going on. And without his guidance, we will never really be able to go deeper. And to go deeper is asking him, please reveal your character to us. And when we see this process and what he's trying to do, that as we behold his character displayed before us, the Holy Spirit will take that like a seed, plant it in our heart, and begins to grow, begins to flourish, begins to bear fruit. And many times we're not even really sure. I don't know how many times you've opened the Bible and read and just not real sure what you got out of it. Sometimes had to shake yourself from sleep, or sometimes because of boredom and not real sure what you got. But then you find out how the Holy Spirit will take all that information, and it's amazing how he does it. Now, he doesn't want us to do this. Whenever we say our faith is built on text, here a little, there a little, there a little, that can be very, very dangerous. But when we take the overall view of Scripture and we try to fit those things in there and understand from that overall view, it begins to make a beautiful picture. But it's amazing how the Holy Spirit will take an experience that you had here, an experience you had there and there, and pretty soon it's like everything just comes together at different parts and different times in your life, and you see a portrait of God, or you see something from a different perspective. And I know that you can't be a Christian for very long before you see that happening in your life. And so the lesson is going into Paul's experience and his missionary trip. This is all well and good, but I want to go a little bit deeper in what that is all about. For me, I just keep asking the question and keep saying, Father, please, please teach me. I don't understand. Please help me to grasp what you're trying to get across, because there is something here that you want for me in my life to help me to grow. And that's been the case with this one also. When we're looking at the experience of Paul's missionary journey, what is there that the Holy Spirit called? Well, we could say, now let's spend some time on how the Holy Spirit calls. And he went to Athens, where they were first, Antioch. Went to Antioch, and just a whole lot of experiences there. But it's so amazing how just a subtle statement can just go right past you. But then all of a sudden you stop and say, well, why did he state it like that? And start looking at other versions, other translations to see the variations, see the different things that are in there, and all of a sudden something unfolds before you, and it's just gets more and more beautiful. And so I'd like to share a couple of those with you today. First of all, I want to talk about what happens when the gospel is presented to a person, and the only experience I know is my own. And it's amazing how Jesus took common experiences that people had. For instance, you could listen to one of his sermons and a salt shaker never has the same meaning that it did before, because he uses some illustration every time you reach for it. Oh, man, and it sparks something. Well, Jesus was trying to get across the incredible love and passion and desire and drive that the Godhead has in reaching out to us. Well, you can say the words, and if your mind is alert and so on, you can hear those words, but they may not mean a whole lot. So Jesus didn't quote scripture. He used an experience that everyone in that audience was familiar with. He used the illustration of a shepherd with 100 sheep. And if he loses one, what does he do? Well, you got to remember, he doesn't see that sheep as a bag of wool. He doesn't see it as a lamb chop. He doesn't see it as a stubborn, rebellious, untrained animal. Everyone there knew the passion that a shepherd would go through if found out that one of its sheep is not in the fold. And therefore, Jesus told the story of the good shepherd and really illustrates it. That he goes out braving all the elements, all the precarious things in nature to find that one sheep. The effort that he goes through to find it is one thing, but when he does find it, to watch the joy, because he doesn't say, come on, you stubborn thing. He doesn't take a stick and throw at it and chase it back. He doesn't sit at the gate waiting for it to return on its own. He goes out and he gets it. And when he gets it, he puts it on his shoulder. I should say he examines very carefully first to see if there's any bruise, any blood, any thorns, anything that's in it. Puts it on his shoulder and comes back. Now, when he comes back, how does he respond? What does he do? He doesn't pitch the sheep over with the rest of the flock and go home and disgusted and tells his wife, that stupid sheep, it's the same one, it gets lost all the time, wanders off. Doesn't say a thing. What does he do? What does he do? Pardon?
He gives thanks because he found the sheep there.
Well, that's one way. What does the shepherd do in the story Jesus gave? Do you remember? Am I refreshing your memory or are you reluctant to talk? Pardon?
He rejoices.
Now, what is it? It's an amazing word. It's the same word that comes from Zephaniah 3:17. When it says, when the news comes to the Father that someone has accepted his invitation to spend eternity with him, it says that the Father rises from his throne, lays aside his robe, puts off his crown, and begins to dance and to sing and to clap his hands. Can you imagine your father doing that? And I want to tell you, whenever you made that decision, whatever it is, or whenever it was, that when that decision was made, God reacted with that one. Because he gets to spend eternity with you. So, for every one of the illustrations of something that was lost, what is always the ending phrase? Lost coin, lost boy, lost sheep. What is it? What does it always conclude with?
Celebration.
Every single time. Now, is it just the Father that does it? Pardon?
All the heavenly beings.
Yes. Now, there is joy in heaven. It's amazing. And we have no idea. And you know what? There was a story that Mrs. White told that when the resurrection comes, and if we are laid to rest before he comes, when we come out of the grave, what's the very first thing we will see? You remember? You're reluctant this morning. I didn't hear it. No. What are we going to see before we see Jesus? Your angel. And the very first words out of your mouth will be, I've seen you somewhere. He has shown up in our life. And to think that's the first eyes that we're going to see, and the rejoicing that they do as a result of this. So look at salvation from heaven's perspective. What do they do over you? There can be no smaller number than one. And I've got to read this to you. In the parable, the shepherd goes out to search for one sheep, the very least that can be numbered. So, if there had been one lost soul, the Godhead would have gone through everything they did for that one lost soul. I tell you, I my mind just cannot fully grasp this. I love to bring it up and think about it often. The moment I begin seeing myself and start condemning myself or down on myself or think that I don't matter, in my mind, this is what I do. Just over my right shoulder, I imagine the cross. I turn, I look at that, and I say, oh, okay. That cross is where I see my value. And it reminds me of who I am. And reminds me that if all eternity, I mean all of the history of man, if only one person would have accepted that invitation, he would have done it all. And I want to show you some things that Paul knew and Paul gave when he went out and shared the gospel. What was he really saying? Well, we have one sermon that is recorded, but still we only see part of it. We see it fleshed out in another part of the Bible. And we'll get to that before we leave today. And so when we see this experience happen, the only thing I can relate to is my own experience of when I came to Christ. I've mentioned it several times here. My daughter was born, and that awakened in me a reality that little life was going to be dependent upon me, And what was I going to tell her? What was I going to do for her? And so a whole series of thoughts hit me. And then when I got home, I was there by myself. My wife and child was still in the hospital. And so I got home and I turned on the television just for the noise. And Billy Graham was on there. And Billy Graham gave a sermon and gave an invitation. Well, I don't know what happened to me, but something happened. I found myself on my knees by myself in front of a television accepting the Lord. I didn't even know what it was about. You see, in my case, I didn't have to undo a lot of religious rules and statements. I didn't have to undo anything and ask the question, well, you know, why would I listen to Billy Graham? He's not even of my faith. Well, I didn't have any faith then. There was no breaking down of any barriers. Gave the invitation, I responded. I don't know really why I did then, but think about it. I got off of my knees. And I wanted to shout, I wanted to scream. I wanted to go to the tallest building in Eureka, California, and shout from the top of the building. But I didn't even know what I was going to say.
You just wanted to shout.
Yeah. I mean, it was just amazing what happened. But in reality, what really took place? What took place outside of me? I said, yes, I want you as my Savior. But really, what happened? Did something shift? Did something change inside me? I know now that there was rejoicing in heaven, and I don't know if that's what was splashing over and impacting me. But what did I know? What did I base it on? I just based it on the fact that I said, yes, come into my life. And it was just a blank about what my history was and everything, but my heart was just swelling within me. And so, I'd like to share with you something that I experienced that Ms. White wrote about. Let's see. I know it's on here.